Take your Bible, and if you will, please, turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Young people, so I can help you understand now. It's not playing time. It's not, you just want to be real quiet and listen to the sermon, if you would, please. That way someone doesn't correct you in a more aggressive nature later on. 2 Kings chapter number 20. And I want you to find, if you will, 2 Kings chapter 20, and you're going to find verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter 20, and I want you to find verse number 8. Now, would you please stand with me? Everybody's standing, and we're going to read together 2 Kings. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Verse 11, And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Now, I want you to listen to one other verse. The Bible says this in Psalm 91:1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And let's pray. Father, help us today. I pray for the young people that are new in church. I pray that they would be quiet and listen. Help them not to interrupt, because somebody here today needs desperately what's going to be said. Matter of fact, even they do. They don't understand that. But Holy Spirit of God, reach into our congregation today and strengthen us and make us better, because we've been challenged from thy word. I pray, God, that you would minimize the interruptions and maximize our attention and do something supernatural within these your people. God, there are people here who need healing, some physically, and maybe even in a greater way, some emotionally and spiritually. I pray, God, that somehow today you'd make us a little closer to what we ought to be as a result of our coming to church. Help my mind to be strong. Help the interruptions not to keep me from saying what needs to be said, and in the right way, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you something real quickly, and then I'll get to my sermon. Of course, we all see that the sunshine and the heat that we wanted back when it was colder is now upon us. I was... When I park my car at my house, there's a certain way that I park it, because if I can park it in the shadow of my house, boy, it sure cuts down on the amount of heat in that little oven called my car when I jump into it. And I park it that way for a special reason, that the shadow of my house gives it some protection, keeps it from having that overbearing heat on it. Now, sometimes I'll get it parked right where I need to, and I know where to park it to where that the shadow of my house helps it. Sometimes I get it parked there, sometimes I don't. Sometimes Mrs. Owens does not get it parked there either. But there's a place where I can park my car, and it helps. You know, we park the vans out here at the church. We put them under the trees out here because those vans heat up, and it becomes like an oven. That the shelter of that shadow is important. The Bible says in Psalm 91:1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I hadn't given a lot of thought to it recently, but I want to tell you, just this week when I'd parked my car, I was struggling with right where to put it so I could get the full effect of that shadow. I got to thinking about how God has protected me. And I got to thinking about how, like I tried to protect my car using the shadow of my house, God has somehow protected me by his shadow. And I suppose there are times when I could have been burnt up in life. But because I had that extra protection when the heat of life was coming on me, I had the protection of His shadow that watched out for me. I call the sermon this morning, Abide Under the Shadow. Abide, that means live under the shadow. We read a moment ago from 2 Kings chapter 20. The story here is not really well known. Many of you, maybe you've heard it, but I don't think it's one of the most popular stories in the Bible. It's not, you know, like Daniel, the lion's den, or Noah and the ark. But it's a very interesting story from 2 Kings chapter 20. King Hezekiah was sick, and it was said that he was sick unto death. That's found in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Isaiah, the man of God, comes to Hezekiah and tells him, he said, Hezekiah, you need to set your house in order because you're going to die. And Isaiah, the preacher, walks out of the presence of Hezekiah. Hezekiah did the right thing. He turned his face to the wall and he started praying. And you find that in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 2. And then in 2 Kings 20, verse 3, Hezekiah, he adds weeping. His heart was tender. He was sincere with God. He's just been told that he's going to pass away. The preacher leaves. This man turns his face to the wall. He begins to pray and talk to God, and he begins to weep with a tenderness toward God. He reminds God that he had served him and that to the best of his ability with a decent heart and a pure heart. Isaiah was still walking. He had left the house or the castle, if you will, where the king was. And he was still on the king's property. And God said, Isaiah, I know you just left. And I know I told you to tell him he was going to pass away. I want you to turn around and go back. Tell him I heard his prayer. And I'm sure Isaiah might have said, how long could he have been praying? I just told him. I mean, I just watched the screen door finally click and lock into place. God said, go back and tell him, I've heard his prayer. And Isaiah turns back, and under the instruction of God, God gives Hezekiah 15 more years of life. So Isaiah had showed up and said, you're going to pass away, put your things in order, I'm leaving. He left. The king prayed, he wept, he cried out to God in a powerful way, and God said, Isaiah, go back and you tell him he's going to live and I'm going to give him 15 more years. Well, that's what a wonderful story. Hezekiah, then he said, I would kind of like, you know, could I get your signature on this promise here? Because, yeah, you know, I'd really like to know that you're going to, you know, hold to this thing. And Isaiah said, well, God is going to, he's going to give you an indication that his promise is true. And he said, what we're going to do is in their day, they didn't have a clock or a watch. They didn't have iPhones back then. I know that's hard for you to believe. Watches are almost obsolete now. You don't look at what time it is like this. You look at what time it is like this now. You look at your phone. But what happened was they used a sundial. And some of you have seen a sundial. Young people, you can go into the encyclopedia and look at what a sundial is. But God said, what I'm going to do is, and actually using a sundial, I'll move it 10 degrees forward or backward as a proof from heaven that the promise I'm making you about extending your life for 15 years is true. God said, which one do you want? And Hezekiah very wisely said, well, making it move forward's easy. You do that all day long. He said, could you make the sun go backwards? Could you make that dial go backwards? God said, it's as easy to make it go backward as it is to make it go forward. Because God has everything in his control. And it's exactly what happened. They actually watched the sun move backward. And on that sundial, those 10 degrees, and Hezekiah said, wow, God has just told me he's extending my life. And he sealed the deal by making the sun move backward. It was the shadow of that sundial that helped them to know what was happening. It is the shadow that helps the dial. That's how you read it. It was the shadow. And that shadow there, that shadow pictured God's promise to care for the need of King Hezekiah. Let me see if I can give you a little history that will help you. In the Judean hills, they virtually had no trees at all. This means there's no shade provided because of the trees. Shade then to the Jewish people was a vital part of life because it would get so hot. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When there is no shade and we face the kind of heat we do here, it is terrible. But if you can get up under a tree, you can feel the difference immediately because of the shade. Any person that was walking from Jericho to Jerusalem, they would love any type of shade. They would be looking for that shade. And it was incredible how hot it could get without that shade. They were always looking for shade. And so you know, when you look in the Bible and you see a lot of times the Bible talking about the shadows, they're in there because the Jewish people understood the importance of those shadows. And it was put in the Bible because it made sense to them when they talked about the shadows. So they were always looking for that shade, if you will. The shade of a tent, the shade of a tree, the shade of a bush, the shade of a rock. And our Lord was wanting to tell the Jewish people how much He loved them. And that's why He used, for instance, Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God was trying to say to them, I take care of you. And you understand shadow, you understand the terrible heat that could bear down on you. And when you find that shadow, how refreshing it is, how you feel protected, how you feel the relief. And that's one of the reasons why God uses the shadow so often in the Bible. I looked it up. The word shadow, and in one form or another, is used 77 times in the Bible. This morning, after I took time to pray for you, I looked up every time I seen the word shadow used. I was amazed. I was amazed at what I seen in regard to God's watch care over us. And I want you all to know, every time you see a shadow, you need to remember that God uses that shadow as a way to say, I want to watch out for you. I want to shelter you from the storms of life. I want to help you to make it through the terrible heat of life, and I want to be a refreshment to you. That's what the shadow's there for. It is obvious to me. You know, we thought, well, the shadow, the sun, and all, you know, it's just natural. It's just something that happens out there. I think God is far bigger than that and far more capable than that. And when God created the shadow, there was a spiritual purpose. It was like last week, our Sunday school lesson about the rainbow. What a big deal. And God knows what He's doing. 77 times in the Bible, I seen that term shadow. I read every one of them earlier this morning. I wanted to understand it better for today's sermon. And God tells them, I'm the shadow. I'm that shade. He said in Psalm 21:5, the Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. God's shadow is mentioned over and over again as a sweet thing in the Bible. I'm going to talk to you about it for a few minutes. Shadows are everywhere to remind us of God's watch care, His protection, His intent. I call the sermon, Abide Under the Shadow. The word abide means live. Let me tell you something. You need to live under the shadow of God's protection. And when we get in trouble in life, and you say, I think life's tearing me to shreds right now. It doesn't have to if you'll stay under the shadow of God's protection. When we step out from underneath that protection, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. Stay under that shadow. But let me make some observations. First of all, I think there is a shadow for us in regard to the rock of our salvation. Isaiah chapter 32, verse number 2, it says, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. See, God's our rock. And when they would find rocks and mountains and hills in the area we're talking about, there would be the shadow of the rocks. When we were kids, and I suppose not just kids, we would sing the song, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. You know, this shadow, there's a shadow that is placed over us in regard to the thing called salvation. You ever been where it's hot and then you ever find a cave and have the chance to go in a cave when it's hot out? Isn't it amazing what that rock can do? I mean, immediate drop in the temperature, and you just feel like, oh, what a reprieve. So I think anytime anybody gets weary and they're having a tough time, hey, find a rock that's near a creek where there's water. And somehow, what refreshment, what a coolness is made available to us. Folks, listen, I'll give you something that will help you through all the trials of life. You may face some tough things in your relationships. You may face some tough things with your finances. You may face some tough things with your health. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never lose your salvation. You'll always have that. And boy, that is valuable. And I'm so glad that I have the protection of the rock of my salvation, that rock that gives me the shadow. You know, David found a shadow of shelter in a cave when he was running from Saul. You remember when Saul was out to kill David? David found protection, and it was a salvation that was available to him as a result of that cave. We sing the song, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. You say, that's talking about that strong rock on which we stand. Yes, it is, but that big rock provides shadow and protection and relief in life for us. We sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I'm glad we have the firm footing of the rock, but wait a minute, the rock gives a shadow, and that shadow has a coolness. It has a refreshment to us. Salvation is so refreshing. Jesus is our rock. And He's more than just the rock on which we stand, but also in which we stand. He's our shelter in the time of storm. If you're saved this morning, you have that rock. If you don't have the rock of salvation, if you don't have that shadow from the rock of salvation, you need it in your life. Hey, I think there are false shadows. Somebody might tell you that if you get baptized, you can get to heaven that way. I'm sorry, that's a false shadow. Somebody might tell you confirmation will get you to heaven, but it won't. Good deeds won't get you to heaven. Church membership won't get you to heaven. But the rock of our salvation, the one that casts His shadow upon us, is Jesus Christ, the Savior. His death, His burial, His resurrection. Hey, when we stand in the presence of Calvary, we see the shadow that Calvary sheds upon us. That is what will get you to heaven. The shadow of that rock, it's salvation. Salvation is a calming thing. If you're saved, thank God for that salvation. It is a shade in a tremendous heat of our day. Not only that, not just salvation provides a shadow or a protection for us, but secondly, the shadow of the rock of the security that He gives us with that salvation. This morning in my Sunday school class, I talked about that security some. I not only have salvation, but my salvation is secure. The Bible says in Isaiah 49, verse number 2, and He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of His hand hath He hid me. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about in His hand in the New Testament as well. Now notice, it says in the shadow of His hand. Now that's for you and I, those of you that are born again. He's saying there is shadow in His hand. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 10. It's somewhat like Isaiah chapter 49. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, what does John 10 mean? It means when a person comes to Jesus for salvation, he's placed in the shadow of the hand of God. When you get saved, you're saved, and God then, you're placed in the shadow of His hand. It's referring to our security in Christ. But I want you to notice, it does not say under the shadow of His hand, it says in the shadow of His hand. You see, this microphone right here, if I put my hand above it, that's a wonderful thing, and it's in my shadow. But that's not what your salvation is. He said, you're in my hand. So it's not just a shadow hovering. His fingers are wrapped around your heart and your life. That's how secure you are. Nobody can take you out of His hand. I can be ornery every once in a while. Mrs. Owens and I, we have a love seat that we set in at our house. And my side is the left side. Her side is the right side. And I'll be sitting there and I'll be reading. And she may be over there and messing with quilting things or something. But she'll get her phone and go to look something up. I get such a kick out of when she is consumed looking something up on her phone, knocking her phone out of her hand. I don't know why. She'll be working along and I reach over and I tap it and it falls down. Oh, you all feel sorry for her. Go ahead, moan and groan. Thank you. I can knock that phone out of her hand. Now, if she's watching, she'll tighten it up so I can't knock it out of her hand. But let me tell you something. The day that you got saved, you were placed in the hand of God. Not you or anybody else can knock you out of His hand. I might be able to knock that phone out of my wife's hand when she's not watching, but hey, God's always watching. I might be able to knock that phone out of my wife's hand because she would be a little weaker than I. But God is stronger than everybody and everything. And God said, when I save you, I put you in my hand, and I'm not just giving you the shadow of my hand over you. You are in my hand, and you are protected. You see, that microphone, the portion that's in my hand, it's in the shadow too. But that shadow's locked in. There's nothing that you can do beyond that. His hand is there, and we have that security. Do you know that Noah and his family, they were safe in the shadow of the ark? Not near it. You know, the people that were near it drowned. They were in it. They had trusted God. And we don't hold, hey, and so you know, we don't hold on to Him for salvation. He holds on to us. He does the holding. He never loosens His grip. He is the rock or the cave. He provides that shadow for our salvation. You're secure in that salvation. Your eternity is settled. So, whatever you face, remember, you're saved. And because of that salvation, you're under the shadow of His protection eternally. And that shadow that He has placed over you, it's eternal. You don't have to ever give it up. Once you got saved, He saved you, and He saved you from now till the day you get to heaven. The shadow of security. I noticed the Bible began to talk about the shadow of wings. Wings. So I know I'm saved, that's a shadow. I know I have the security of the believer, that's a shadow. But then there is a safety that He provides under the shadow of His wings. Psalm 63:7, the Bible says, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Let me tell you something, folks. Here it talks about the shadow of His wings. Those of us that are saved and we have the security of our salvation. He comes along and He says, I'll protect you under the shadow of my wings. You picture God in the great wings of the universe. He has a watch care over you. But He talks about, and He says here, the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Let me tell you. I think you and I would be happier. I think you and I would rejoice more in life if we would recognize we are under the watch care and the shadow of His protection. Did you hear the words that He used? He said, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Folks, don't you forget you're under God's shadow. Don't you forget you're saved. Don't you forget. Nobody can ever take that salvation away from you. And God is watching over you. And when God watches over you, you have something to rejoice about. And the psalmist said, I realize that I have the protection of God over me. I'm saved. I'm secure. And God is watching out for me. That's enough to make me smile during a tough day. That's enough to help me to rejoice because I'm protected by the wings or the shadow of Almighty God. In Psalm 91:4, He said, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, the word shield and buckler there, that's armor. So if I'm having a rough day, God said, if I'll just recognize I am protected by a shadow, I can rejoice. Now, He says, under the shadow of His wings, it's like a shield and buckler. What's it mean? The shield and buckler would have been used when there was a battle on.
You say, preacher, I feel like I'm going through a battle right now in my life. Well, let me tell you something. You have the shadow of His protection, and He compares it to a shield and buckler. His wings were there to protect you. Hey, trust in that security. Now, listen to this again. It says, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Let me tell you, trust God if you're going through a battle. Realize He's going to protect you. Realize you're never out of His sight. Realize that He's placed you in His hand. His fingers are wrapped around you. Hey, you know what, Brother Brian? There's not a thing that can happen to you in the next 2 weeks that God is not involved in. Not a thing. Not a thing. Now, if you were in my hands, I'd be freaked out. But buddy, you're not in my hands. You're in the great God of the universe's hands, and He's going to take care of you. And God knows exactly what He's doing. He said, I don't want, you can rejoice. You're saved. You don't only have to, you're not just saved. I'll keep you that way. And then I'm going to protect you. If all hell comes against you, I can protect you because I've got a shadow that's so big and it's so powerful. Nothing can get through my shadow. I know what I'm doing. I'm your God and I can take care of you. God here likens His protection and His care to a mother hen or maybe an eagle who would cover her chicks very safely during a storm. I was watching some show, Wild Kingdom or something once, and I watched when a hailstorm hit, I watched a mother eagle take her body and cover her baby eaglets while the hailstorm was coming. And they didn't even know there was a storm. I really think had we looked up under there, they were probably under there coloring pictures. You know, eating candy. Now, Mama, she might have been going through it, but she was protecting those little ones. And God is saying to us, I can take my wings and I can shelter you. And when the storms of life hit, I can help you to get through that storm. We have the shadow of salvation, that protection. We have the shadow of the security of that salvation. I think Jesus spreads His wings around us and He protects us in our everyday life. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. This is what Jesus said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And God said, I'll protect you. I'll keep you safe. Folks, stay close to Jesus. You're under the protection of His shadow. You are under the protection of His wings. It's a little bit like an umbrella. It's there to protect you. Folks, that's one reason why you want to stay in the will of God. The will of God is under the umbrella of His watch care. But when you step out from underneath the umbrella of the will of God, you stand the potential of getting yourself hurt. But you did it to yourself. God didn't do it to you. He gave you that protection. Stay in His will. I think we all understand the importance of the protection of a child. There's extra effort taken to keep a child safe. Listen. We are the children of God. Now, I think there are times that you just need to run to Jesus and let Him wrap His wings of protection around you and secure you in life. You know where people make a mistake? They're going through something and they're panicked. So they run to drugs. They run to liquor. They run to immorality. Hey, those things don't protect you. Those things hurt you. They make it worse. Say, to who should I run? Run to Jesus. Run to Him and say, God, just cover me up. Shield me. Guard me. Hey, busy mom, taking care of the kids, you're wore down, you're tired. Run to mom. Hey, run to Jesus, mom. Let Him cover you. Let Him strengthen you. You dads, you men, you're out in the workforce and you're fighting the battle of being a Christian in the workforce. And you say, it's heavy. What I face is heavy. You run to Jesus and let Him cover you. You let Him wrap those wings around you, and you can be sustained. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe you run a business, or you're a leader around the church, and you say, I just feel like I'm being bombarded right now. Well, whatever you do, don't run from God. Run to God and get under that watch care of protection. Let him take His shadow and put it around you. I think every once in a while, you just need to get to God and just let Him protect you for a little while. Just let Him guard you. You see, we have the shadow of salvation. We have the shadow of the security of our salvation. We have the shadow of the protection that's provided under His wings. Whether that shadow is because of a hardship or an issue or the attack of the devil, He said, my wings will be like a shield and buckler. They'll keep you safe. I believe there's the shadow of His provision. God provides. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 3, it says, I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. See, the lover in the Song of Solomon compares His shadow to that of a fruit tree. Well, a fruit tree provides need. I believe this. I believe that God, with His shadow, provides for you and I. He has a way of meeting our needs. You say, preacher, how will I make it through this tough time that I'm facing right now financially? Set under the shadow of His fruit tree and let Him provide. Now, that doesn't mean that you're lazy and don't go to work. You say, well, I'm just going to sit around under God's shadow and hope He gives me the money to pay my bills. No, I would sit around under His shadow at work. But God will provide. There are people that sat under the sound of my voice. You wondered how you were going to make it. You could not figure out a way to pay that bill. You did everything that you could, but you went to God and said, God, I've done what I can. You're going to have to take care of the rest. And God did. And He has done it before, and He can do it again. How will I make it through these medical bills that I'm facing? Live under the shadow of His protection. How am I going to make it with this stress time? This is a tough time for my business. Live under the shadow of His protection. Remember, I love that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you will live under His watch care, if you'll live under that shadow, He'll provide your needs. You got to understand something, folks. I think sometimes we feel like, well, I wanted this and God didn't provide it. You have to understand, God doesn't say He'll provide you everything you want. He did promise He would provide what you need. He said, well, I needed a steak. And all I got was a hot dog. Maybe you needed a hot dog. Matter of fact, a couple of you just need a salad. So we get disappointed in God because He didn't give us everything we wanted. God never promised to give us everything we want. He said, under my shadow, I'll give you what you need. And then there's sometimes you say, I know the difference between want and needs, but your needs even exceed or are different than what God thinks we need. And so, but there's, I think God provides. We've talked about this and maybe a little more in recent days. You remember our last building, it was just packed out and we didn't know what to do. Yeah, anybody ever, have you driven by the Trent Road property lately? How did we get all those people in there? I am so glad the fire marshal never came. Really? What in the world would we do if we were there today? We had no idea how we would ever afford to move from there to this beautiful complex of buildings. But you know what? I think we were living under the shadow of His protection. I said, I don't know how we're going to do it, God. He said, you just keep your faith in me because I know how we're going to do it. And boy, God provides. I wonder how many times Mrs. Owens and I in life were facing something. And, you know, when you're in the ministry, and I have no remorse or regrets, and this is not a complaint, it's a testimony. You don't always have big insurance programs to cover all your medical needs. And you know, basically, you all understand, my salary's paid by us passing a hat in here. Now, if you went to work down for Ford Motor Company and they said, we're going to pay you, and you said, how? Well, we'll just take up an offering and that's how we'll pay you every week. Would you take the job? That's how I've been paid virtually my whole lifetime. I wonder how many times we've had need. And we just wondered, how are we going to do this? Because we don't share our needs with people. We never have. We share our needs with God. And I'll tell you something. If you live under the shadow of the Almighty and you go to Him and say, I'm not sure how I can do this. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. God will say, you just stay under my shadow. I have a way. You know, He can make it rain under an umbrella.
Right.
He can meet your need. And I look around and I see missionaries and I see godly Christians and people that have been through it. Folks, don't forget, how many times have you had need and you wondered, how are you going to do it? How are you going to make it? How could you take it? And then God pulled it out. Hey, we live under the shadow of His wings, and you may forget about Him, but He never forgets about you. He knows what you need. He can meet that need. Stay under that shadow. Those of you who are fearful, what does the future hold? Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what's in the future as long as you are under the watch care and the shadow of the Almighty. There's nothing that can come upon us that God is not aware of, and He'll help us through it. I sometimes ask myself, God, how can I get what I need for our people? My need for you is to make sure I give you something worthy of you coming to church to hear preached. I'm amazed how God just keeps providing and providing and providing and providing. He's a provider. I believe that for you. You can go to the Bible. God can provide. Stay under the shadow of the Almighty. Stay in your Bible. God provides. I love the shadow of salvation, the shadow of the security of salvation. I love that shadow that is the safety during battle times and difficult times, the shadow of His provision. I couldn't get off of this thought. I think you all know we're supposed to be like Him. That's really what this is all about. We're to be like Jesus. We're to be like God. Which means this, Christian, are you a shadow for anyone? Are you a shadow for anyone? You know, there's a story in the Bible where Peter was passing through a street. There were actually people coming out on the street hoping that the shadow of Peter would fall upon them. Because somehow God gave a certain blessing to that. I don't think there's anything special about Peter. He was the first pope. But I don't think there's anything special about Peter. What I think it was, there's something special about Peter's God. But there is a time in the Bible where the shadow of Peter would fall upon somebody and great things happened. His shadow brought comfort. Now we all enjoy our salvation provided by someone and our security provided by someone. We all enjoy that protection during battles, and we all enjoy God meeting our needs. But He's our example. And it occurred to me when I was almost done with this sermon that God wasn't done with me. And He said, Jeff, that's what you're supposed to be. Help people to the Savior. Become a part of the shadow. Help secure people. Hey, bring comfort to people. Bring strength to people. You know, as a preacher, I'm a human being. I'm just like you. But I tell you something. I work very, very hard at being steady for you. If you're scared, I don't want to be scared in your presence, because you need someone to be strong. But dads, that's what we all are to be. Moms, but somebody's as a Christian, we're to comfort, like the shadow comforts. There are times when you need to provide comfort. It ought to be that your life becomes a shade for somebody. Hey, Sunday school teacher, are you providing a shadow over the students that go to your class? Hey, bus captain, are you providing a shadow over those kids on that bus route? Do you love them? Do they know that you love them? Can they look to you and say, you know what? I get around my bus captain and he's refreshing. It's like I'm out in the heat of life and life would tear me up what I face at home and I get on that bus. And it's cool. There's a refreshment to my spirit. Those of you that go to work, your testimony ought to be that of the shadow of the Almighty. And as we reach out in this New Bern area in Craven County, people ought to know, you go down to that church and you'll find Jesus there. And there are a bunch of people that are like Him. Protecting, comforting, strengthening. Have you encouraged anyone with your shadow this week? Have you brought hope to anyone with your shadow this week? To whom have you provided shade? To whom have you cared? And who did you help meet their need? Are you like God? Are you like a rock in a weary land with a cooling effect? Do you provide with your spirit a refreshment? A shadow of protection? Or does your attitude and behavior add to the heat and the stress of life? Husband, are you an oasis for your wife? Wife, are you an oasis for your husband? Children, teenagers, do you provide shadow and comfort for your mom and dad? Or just heat and misery? Huh. Christians cast a shadow also. And I was so excited, Brother Pine, when I was the benefactor of the shadow stuff. Man, I'm racing through verses saying, I get that, and I get this, and I get that. And wow, look at all this. Woo, this is good. We're going to like this. And right when I closed my Bible, I said, I'm done with my outline. The Lord said, whoa. Now, you are to live my example. And I said, oh, brother. Good gravy. Hey, let's go everywhere and become a shadow. Let's become a shadow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you're not saved, I welcome you to the shadow of the rock of my salvation. If you're not saved, you could be born again today. And you would escape the heat of hell by stepping into salvation, which is the wonderful watch, care, and protection for all eternity under the love of a gracious Heavenly Father. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know that I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand right now so I can see it? I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm born again. God bless you. Thank you for that. If you're not saved, if you let us, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. In a moment, we'll have a thing called an altar call. You step forward. We'll have someone that knows the Bible. They won't embarrass you. They won't hurt you. We'll very quietly show you how to be born again. And you could have the refreshment of the thing called salvation. And that will take care of your eternity. Then, hey, Christian, do you need to be reminded today? Did God remind you of His watch care, His protection, and that shadow that He provides? I hope you've been reminded. I hope you've been challenged by it. Maybe somebody here today would say, Pastor, I needed that. I needed that reminder. I needed that reminder. I know it's there, but it just helped me today in a special way to be reminded of His watch care, His protection, and the shadow that He's placed over me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it and say, boy, I needed that. I just needed that extra boost. Now you may put those hands down, and God bless you. Don't forget about that. But I can't stop the invitation there. What's your goal in life? I'd like to be a shadow. I'd like to bring security, refreshment, strength. I want to do what I can as long as I'm strong to provide an appropriate shadow for the people I love. Who here would say, Pastor, the challenge of my life being a shadow has gotten into my heart in a special way this morning. Would you let God see your hand? I want to be a shadow. I don't want just protection. I want to help provide protection. You may put your hands down. We're going to have a time of altar call. This is what's going to happen in a moment. The pianist is going to begin to play, and then we're going to stand. And then if you need the altar, I wish you'd come and take a moment. Maybe you need to just come down here and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the watch, care, and protection that you've promised me. Maybe somebody needs to come down here and say, Lord, I need not only receive watch care, I need to do what I can to provide protection, security, confidence, and refreshment to others. Some of you might need to apologize to God and say, God, I just seem to make things worse for others. Oh, that's not what it's supposed to be like. We're to better situations, not make them worse. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? If you do, you come. Teenager, are you a refreshment? Are you an oasis to mom and dad? Or do you make things worse? Husband, are you an oasis to your wife? Wife, are you an oasis to your husband? Christian, are you the kind of person that's making things better or worse? Hezekiah said, oh God, spare me. And God did. And he used the shadow of the Almighty to seal the deal with Hezekiah. And that was God saying, my shadow will watch over you. My shadow will guard you. My shadow will see you through. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a shadow of salvation. It's a shadow of the security of that salvation. It's a shadow of His safety under His wings. It's a shadow of His provision as He meets our needs under that shadow. And then he turns around and says, now you go be a shadow for others. If you need the altar, it's here. I think Christians are to be a cooling shadow from the heat of life for others. Some of you more seasoned, older Christians, it's time for you to become a shadow for some of the younger Christians.